The Capitol reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal is Molly Beck, and she is kind enough to join us once again to talk about all things across the river in Wisconsin. Hi, Molly.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going very well. yesterday, your Twitter feed was actually somewhat hilarious, I think unintentionally. There are dog and pony shows, but with Scott Walker, well, explain. Scott Walker went to a school for an education bill signing, correct?
Yes, that's right.
All right. And explain that this is a bill that this is, it sounds like this was a bill expanding funding for rural schools, correct?
Right. So the bill gives several million more dollars to schools in rural areas. And it also allows some school districts that have these low state imposed limits on how much they can raise in property taxes. It lets them raise more property taxes for decades they've been stuck in these very low limits. So it sends a lot more money to schools in mostly rural areas of Wisconsin.
Now, does it omit metro area schools in Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay?
It does. This is a funding boost for what's known as sparsity aid, which is aid that it's like a supplemental revenue stream for school districts in rural areas that might not have the property tax base that more metro areas have. And again, the districts with the low revenue limits are, that's just something that they've been dealing with since around 1990, I believe, the legislature imposed these limits.
Well, and it's a similar problem we have here in Minnesota. I mean, rural school districts, you know, you get mandates with, special needs kids that come into a district, and it can actually do some serious damage to a local community's budget. They have to fix this, but this seems like... correct me if I'm wrong, didn't the Republicans in Wisconsin not that long ago actually pull funding from the education in rural schools?
There was a move to boost this aid. Actually, Governor Walker proposed it, and then it was stripped out of the state budget by the Republicans on the budget writing committee. So this is a separate bill that came after that decision to basically do the same thing, and it passed both houses. Here.
So Scott Walker decides to head. Where did he go to? What school was this at?
He went to, it's called Riverdale High School. It's in the Riverdale School District, which is in southwestern Wisconsin, so about an hour and a half west of Madison.
I know the area. I've driven through there before when I was.
It's very pretty.
Yeah, it's gorgeous country over there. I kind of get the impression let's start off with that. He clearly was using the governor was clearly using the kids as a prop for this signing session, which I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would want any politician using my kid as a prop in a signing session. Did the people know that he was coming? Because it seems like there was these kids were being ordered that they had to go stand next to the governor. Okay. There's going to be a lot of that.
You know, it seems like it had been scheduled. I mean, the choir was there ready to sing, and the band was there, and the gymnasium was full. And then there was a long line of students waiting to get their photos taken with him, and the students seemed pretty into it. I mean, they were taking photos with their own phones, which is indicative of whether or not they wanted to be doing it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, a long line of students, and one of your Twitter posts here, long line of students waiting to take photos with Governor Walker. Students say they were asked to do so. And obviously, once again, you're the school district. The governor says, I want to come on by and sign a bill here. You know, it's an opportunity to shine some light on the school district. I can get that to a point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is the kind of thing in this day and age that if a Democrat tried to do anything like this, I don't care what state it is, Governor Dayton or anything like this, they would get shouted down. They'd get screamed at about how dare you use kids as props. And here's Walker, you know, basically trying to make it seem like he's the second coming of, you know, the grand saint of education and coming on down. And it really... You know, like I said, especially when you put it in context of the fact that the Republicans in the state have really kind of purged a lot of spending out of education, this seemed a little bit misguided.
That is a major debate of Governor Walker's reelection within the legislature right now. There's a lot of, you know, Governor Walker has proposed a huge funding increase for schools, public schools. In his last budget, he did a statewide tour of public school districts last year to, you know, basically campaign for his funding increase. And Democrats, you know, are wanting to remind people that in previous budgets that he has cut, you know, education by almost the same amount. So education spending, I should say. So, you know, I had a reelection. Democrats are saying that, you know, Governor Walker is, you know, trying to, you know, use what the values that they've had in their, you know, their legislation, which is, you know, adding money for public schools. Governor Walker will say that, you know, the cuts that they made in previous budgets have provided them with this surplus that they're allowed, you know, they're able to give the money back to schools.
Right. So let me go there. You remember all that money we cut out of the schools? Well, we still have it here and we're going to give it back to you, which would lead to the question is, why did you cut it out in the first place? It's very Tim Pawlenty. When Pawlenty was running the state of Minnesota, where, you know, he would create the problem himself and then come up with a solution generally from the same funds that he had cut, only it worked worse on the backside and said, you're welcome sort of thing. And it seems like, because he has, I mean, I've watched Wisconsin's education rankings fall under Scott Walker, whether that's college, whether that's K-12. The rankings nationally on education since Walker's taken over have distinctly fallen back. And a lot of that people point to his you know, especially in his first term, his fairly large cuts to education and the University of Wisconsin programs that were you know, a major problem with that.
And that is an issue that will likely come up in this, you know, in his reelection campaign, because he's one of the candidates. There's many people running against him, many Democrats that are running against him, but one of them, which is seems to be the front runner at this point, though it's still early, is the state superintendent, who is the only Democrat who has a state agency, major state agency in Wisconsin. And I think the issue of education, if he remains the front runner, will be, you know, something that is at the forefront of this race, because the state superintendent will say that, you know, whatever successes are because, you know, of the things that he's done, and Governor Walker will want to say the same thing, but they'll also be able to, you know, criticize each other for any, you know, decreases in rankings or anything like that.
Molly Beck joining us, the Capitol reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. You know, you're actually getting a fan base up here when people actually, when I mention you're coming on the air, they call in with questions. you know, as you talk, you talk about whether or not Scott Walker will be the next governor, because he's doing something over there, and I've read about this myself, that is pretty obnoxious. He's refusing, and really, is it since the Senate race, which the Republican had won handily during the Trump administration, then lost in the special election, it seems as if from that point forward, he's not calling any special elections and leaving a lot of congressional seats in Wisconsin open, as opposed to potentially have seats which Republicans, you know, might have won or might be contending in, lose big time because the Democratic wave is on right now.
And that is the Democrats' argument for calling for Governor Walker to call these special elections. There is a Senate seat and an open assembly seat in the legislature right now. And after the Democrat Patty Schechner in Western Wisconsin, beat the Republican candidate who had been in the state assembly. And that was a seat that had been held by Senator Sheila Harsdorf for many years. After that, you know, that victory for the Democrats really energized them, and Governor Walker responded to that with alarm. And then there were two more openings for which he could have called a special election, and he decided not to. He said that the law allows him to, you know, make that decision, and also has said that, you know, there's not going to be any legislative session days for those, you know, seats anyway. So why call them? But Democrats have said, you know, there's still the possibility of a special session this year for school safety legislation. The Senate's still in on March 20th. The legislative session technically, you know, ends in April, even though the two houses have said they're not going to come back after March 20th. But so, you know, the Democrats are you know, saying, you know, you need to call these. And then actually a group headed by former Attorney General, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, has sued Wisconsin and Governor Walker for not calling these elections. So that's something that we're also watching. That was just filed last month in Dane County Circuit Court, which is where Madison is.
Well, and I mean, it might be different in Wisconsin, but in Minnesota, regardless, Democrat or Republican, you're a House or a Senator, or a House Representative or a Senator, that even if you're not in session, you generally become the point person for a constituent if there's an issue that they want to be addressed, or if there's a concern, or if there's a problem. It would seem to me that this can't be going over too well, even with some Republicans, that the fact that he seems to be so scared of Democratic wins that he's just refusing to have. I mean, we Governor Dayton in Minnesota, I mean, there was a very Republican seat that was 23B that was up for a special election. He called the special election. They had it. And as a matter of fact, they had it within, you know, 2 months. It was fairly quick turnaround on something like that. It can't be. Is it going over well, or is this something that, you know, like with a lot of things today, if you believe in Scott Walker, you shrug your shoulders saying, what's the big deal? But if you don't, it you're outraged.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much from on the Republican side. I've heard a couple of Republicans say that, you know, his decision, he can make that decision. He's right to make that decision. The Democrats are not happy. You know, they are pretty outraged about, you know, not filling those seats. There are staff working in their offices to do constituent relations, but, you know, the Democrats' argument is that, you know, there's still legislation that is going to be taken up that there won't be any representatives from those districts to vote on.
Well, and that's the key, is that those districts will not have representation in the Wisconsin House and Senate, or Assembly and Senate. And so hence that is a pretty brazen move. I have a hard time believing that Wisconsin, I know Wisconsin has gone more to the right than Minnesota has, but I can't believe that's going to leave him unscathed for an election.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how we just had a poll. The Marquette Law School poll had his favorability rating pretty much the same as it was. The last time they did a poll, I believe it's almost the same as, you know, heading into his last re-election. So we'll see how it goes. There are 17 Democratic candidates running against him. And so far, you know, we have a quote unquote front runner, but I, you know, it's hard to say that that's going to stay the case. There's so few differences between the candidates that it's, I think voters are having a hard time, you know, figuring out, you know, who they're all going to get behind, but Democratic voters, that is. But so we'll see how it goes.
My gut feeling is the minute the Democrats win either the Senate or the Assembly, if they win the governor's office, for a while there's not going to be a shredding machine that's not going 24 hours a day in Wisconsin. I'm sorry. I know that that's kind of a political statement to make, and you're not a political person, you're a journalist, but I really get the impression that the minute the Democrats take over, there's going to be, okay, burn it all. Get rid of it all. They don't want anyone to see what's been going on. Cause I got to admit, I mean, it reminds me a lot of when Pawlenty left and Dayton came in, and they kind of realized, and the Republican, the state Republican Party kind of had to come to admit, oh yeah, we're way in the debt. We have a lot more money problems than we originally had. Oh, all this stuff that the governor was doing, it's actually worse. We kind of kept the numbers back. You know, there is always a tendency to hide the negative when it comes to a change of command. And I got to imagine that there's a lot of people that are that would be a little bit bothered if all of a sudden the Democrats were able to get a peek behind the curtain.
We will see what happens.
A very diplomatic, a very journalistic answer there. Wisconsin State Journal, you can find Molly Beck over there. She's an exceptional writer, an exceptional journalist, as opposed to me. I'm a howler monkey. No, you are very good. I'll put a link to some of your stories out there, and we'll spotlight this interview as well. Molly, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.